kings of disaster. Let him in constancy follow the master.
I lie down before you and cradled in the love of Jesus, I'll find security.
A title that I want to share with you, and we're calling our teaching today Love in the House of God. Love in the House of God. And without love, we have no basis of fellowship. It will not mean anything. And so often we take this for granted, but actually it is the most important thing if we are to have fellowship with God and each other, because it is based on love, in fact God's love, because we're told that God first loved us. But let's open up with this in the Gospel of John 13. John 13, and we'll look at verses 34 and 35. John 13, verses 34 and 35, and we're calling it teaching today, Love in the House of God. And something interesting that opens up here in these two verses, and it says this, A new commandment I give to you, that you love one another, as I have loved you, that you also love one another. By this, all will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another. And Jesus gives this to them because he's telling them that he must go away, but he will return. And he will send the Holy Spirit. Of course, they don't really know about this, but he's encouraging them to love one another. He's showing something that is very important, that is going to bond God's people together. And he's giving it in the context because he's going to go away for a short time. And it's going to test this. And this is why he speaks, but he not only says this, he uses a word. Up until now in his teaching, he comes and he uses a word here. He says, A new commandment I give to you, that you love one another as I have also loved you. So it is a commandment. And he, of course, is going to fulfill all the demands of the law that man could not keep, Israel could not keep. He's about to fulfill the demands of that law, to satisfy the demands of that law before his Father. But he's introducing a commandment. Well, he's going to keep all the commandments of the law. So why would he be introducing a commandment, knowing full well that man can't keep it? In fact, we know that the law was to be a tutor. It was to bring man to God, to the grace of God. God knew that man couldn't keep the commandments of God. God knows the heart of man. He knows exactly what happened to man when he fell. But we see that the law, and the law is holy, and the demands of the law must be kept. However, God knew that man would not be able to keep it. Only one could fulfill that law, and that was the Lord Jesus Christ. But here we have this word command. And we're going to look at this in a minute, but we're going to look at some more scriptures in a minute. But you see, Jesus gives us a clue why God gave commandments. In other words, he gives the command, the royal law, we call it, which is love. And we get a bit of a clue of this in Mark 10 and verse 5. Mark 10 and verse 5. Mark 10 and verse 5. And here Jesus speaks about divorce. And they bring up how under Moses they could divorce. It wasn't something that was wanted, but it was possible. And they raise this question, and it's interesting what Jesus says here in verse 5 of Mark 10. And Jesus answers and said to them, "Because of the hardness of your heart, he wrote you this precept." And so they had a hard heart, and we know that. They were stiff-necked. But God did permit this simply because of their hardness of heart. But he speaks of a commandment. And so we begin to get a bit of a clue as to why Jesus now is going to establish under the new covenant this commandment. All the rest is by faith, grace, and mercy. But God commands that we love one another, and that there will be love in the house of God. There will be love in our fellowship. And in actual fact, Christ has dealt with the hardness of man's heart. Even though it is still a problem, it is something that God is still working with you and I. We call it circumcising the heart, changing these hearts of stone to hearts of flesh. Similar, a type of which Moses permitted and allowed it because of the children of Israel, the hardness of their heart. We know that human nature doesn't change. And so under the new covenant, God commands that we love. And he commands this even though he has fulfilled all the demands of the law. He still commands this because of the heart. Because our hearts can deceive us. We can deceive ourselves. And that's why we're to walk humbly before God. And that is why we're to keep under the word of God, so that God can continue that work. And the ultimate work that he's doing is that love, that fellowship that we have with God and each other. And it's the same principle that we live with today. Let's also look at Mark 12. Mark 12 and verse 31. And the second like it is this: you shall love your neighbour as yourself. There is no other commandment greater than these. And so he leads into this, if we look at verse 29 of the same chapter. And Jesus answered him, the first of all the commandments is, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one." And here we are. "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, with all your strength. This is the first commandment. And the second like is this: you shall love your neighbor as yourself. There is no other commandment greater than these." So it is the fulfilling of all the law, which of course Christ achieved at Calvary. And so through Christ, we have now fulfilled the law in Christ. And the fulfillment of that, the command of that upon us, is to love one another. And of course he gives it to love God first. Your whole being is there involved in it. He says your heart, Your soul, that's you. Your character, you. Your mind, that brain, that mind that God made and created for his, for to worship him, to know him. And with all your strength, so we have a strength, a power about us in which to love God. And he says that is the first commandment. So if you don't fulfill verse 30, you're never going to fulfill 31, verse 31. It won't happen. We have to be right first with God, with our love for him, and then we can embrace and love each other in the house of God. That is what it means. And so we know that the law is good and holy because Christ said it was. But Christ has abolished the law. He has dealt with the demands of the law, but he now gives us a commandment. And he can do that, rightfully so. And it's not a commandment that is impossible. It's not a commandment now that cannot be met. We get a clue to this in Ephesians chapter 2. Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 15. Well, let's take it from verse 14. Ephesians 2 verse 14, for he himself is our peace, who has made both one and has broken down the middle wall of separation, having abolished in his flesh the enmity, that is the law of commandments contained in the ordinances, so as to create in himself one new man from the two, thus making peace. So he is created the law, fulfilling it, the demands of the law, and he has done it in his flesh, in his body, taking on man's sin. He says, making now peace. So the two have worked a peace. What is this peace? It means peace with God. No longer is God's wrath and anger upon us. And so with what he has accomplished, he says, I now command you to love God and to love one another and your neighbor. And this can be achieved and it can be done because we are saved by the power of God. So it is the power of God working on our behalf, in other words, the love of God working on our behalf, that we can embrace all. We can even embrace the unlovely. We can embrace our enemy. That is what it means. There is no excuse when a Christian says, I can't love that person. Now, they may have a problem, but there is no excuse because Christ has achieved at Calvary to enable us to be able to love. And the problem is that you do not love God with all your heart, your soul, your mind, your being. So it comes right back to relationship. And I've had to counsel over the years a lot of professing Christians who say they can't love, they've got resentment, unforgiveness or whatever, but they don't deal with it. And the reason they don't deal with it is because they don't love God first and foremost. And sadly, if they don't deal with that, they are blinded to it. They think they love God, but they don't. They can't. Because they bear that resentment, that unforgiveness, and they often sin with their tongues. They need a new heart. This is why you have to be born again. A new creation, a new nature. We're dealing with this question, love in the house of God. Because this agape love is being restored now to the house of God in these last days. And so our love then is known by keeping his commandments in which to love. This is the only command he gives in the New Testament under the New Covenant. This is the only commandment that he gives. And he says, you will love one another. You will do this. He doesn't ask your opinion. He doesn't ask what you think. Do you think it a good idea? Not on the contrary. He says, if you're going to be my disciple, you have to settle that one. And I command you to love. That is how the Bible presents it, brothers and sisters. Let's turn to 1 John chapter 2. 1 John chapter 2 and verse 3. Now by this we know that we know him if we keep his commandments. So there we are. So that is how we're known. In other words, if we have sinned, we deal with it. We don't continue sinning. That is the emphasis of 1 John. And he has provided for that weakness. He's provided for that sin. But we're not to deceive ourselves in this. In other words, he has provided for our shortcomings, and thank God for that, because we have sinned. We have missed the mark. But the point is, he says that, know this, that if we know him, we keep his commandments. And what is that commandments? I'm already giving it. Is to love. Love the Lord first, and to love your neighbour, those in the house of God, and so forth. That is what it is. That is the fulfillment of it. And of course, the powers of darkness are always trying to cause those divisions amongst Christians, and particularly those in fellowship. We know it because we've all experienced it. What does it also say in the Gospel of John? John 13, verses 34 and 35. John 13, verses 34 to 35. A new commandment I give to you, that you love one another as I have loved you, that you also love one another. By this all will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another. So the church is known, the light of the church that is set upon a hill, the lampstand, is known by its love, its fellowship. Not man's love, but God's love. And there is the difference. So, I've been looking up to now with this word command. Jesus, under the new covenant, says, I command you love. He doesn't ask any opinion. He says, this is it. If you want to be my disciple, if you want to follow me, this is the way. And of course, we all try and alter it and excuse why we can't get on with that brother or that sister, or why that person gets on my nerves. And it can all be very true. I'm not saying it's not. But we don't change the word of God with what our Lord says. And of course, if you are battling someone, you're battling getting on, well, it's God's made no mistake. It's absolutely tailor-made for you. Because that is the perfecting work he's going to do through you. So God is in control. That is the wonderful thing about it. And that's why we walk by faith and not by sight. And we have to walk by faith with regards to this. We have to trust God that he's going to work that within our hearts. So we have this word commandment then. I've been using. Now, what is the idea of this? What does it really actually mean in a sense? Well, it actually means, and I've been touching on it quite a lot, it actually means something fresh. Jesus is saying, when I rise from the dead, When I go to my Father and I send the Comforter, the Holy Spirit, to baptize you, you are going to receive something fresh, new. It's already there in the Word, but you are going to receive the revelation, the deeper meaning. And that's why he uses this word command. It's a new way. That is what it means. It is fresh. It is new. And that's why we have this spiritual manna. We have the Word of God. We have the Word of God preached under the unction, the anointing. It's fresh manna to us. And so this is where we get the idea. So this is why he uses this word command. I command you. This is something new. And it can be achieved. And it will be achieved. And he says this because I will send the Comforter. I will send the Holy Spirit who will work this through you and me. That's why we're without excuse. We can't make excuses. It's Christ in you, the hope of glory. We are saved by the power of God. It is the power of God that works this within us. The very power that raised Christ from the dead is the very power working within us, bringing something fresh and new. I'm reminded of the Lord's Supper. That last supper that he had, and he took a cloth and he washed their feet and he wiped it. What was he showing there? He was showing something new, to serve, to be a servant, something sacrificial. He was showing his nature, why he came, so that others could learn and see this. And this is what it is in the house of God. This is our fellowship. You are set in the church, in the body. You are baptized by the Spirit into the body to serve. And if we don't have that servant-like nature within us, then we are failing in love. Because love is more than words. It is also deeds. It is actions. And so we are there to serve. Our life in the body is sacrificial. In other words, we don't have to do it, but we do it. I don't have to preach to you. I don't have to be your pastor. But I choose to do it because I do it first unto the Lord. It's about serving. It's sacrificial. And that is the heart and nature that should be found in the house of God. And we're calling this love in the house of God. And Jesus clearly displayed this amongst his disciples. And so, of course, they were greatly influenced by this. And when they received the Holy Spirit at the time of Pentecost in the upper room, they were able to take those experiences that they had seen with Christ, and he quickened all of that through the power of the Holy Spirit, and they were able to transmit that into the house of God, into the body of Christ, where they too could be affected by it as well. Because that's what love does. Love affects. It's a spiritual virus. And praise God for it. It affects if it is the true love of God. And love makes us his disciples. And there's the difference. But it has to also be experienced in the house of God. If we don't experience the love of God in the house of God, we're never going to experience it outside. And so often we are looking for a substitute for God's love, for fellowship. And you're not going to get it with your friends. You're not going to get it in the world, and you are not going to get it with your family. As much as we love them, this is a love not of the world. This is a love that even our families cannot give us. This can only be found and experienced in the house of God and amongst believers who love the Lord Jesus Christ with all their heart, soul, mind and being. This is where it's to be found. So we're to experience this then in the house of God, if ever we're to love outside, because we are to love outside. The world will see that we are his disciples by our love. I already read it to you. But unless we get it right first in the house of God, unless we get it right between each other, we're never going to get it right in the world. And God, I believe, is restoring this. He's restoring this, bringing this back. And the way this is restored is that we are willing to surrender. We surrender the independent life, and that is achieved and done through the cross that we too are to take up daily and follow. That cross will deal with anything that tries to hinder the love that is found in the house of God. And God will do it, because it's not by might nor by power, it's by his Spirit, says the Lord. But it also comes, brothers and sisters, doesn't it, by asking. These are the things that we should ask God for. And of course, we will be at times tested, but we're tested to see whether it is genuine or not. That is the point. And of course, through that asking, we need that faith to believe. And God will accomplish, he will work this. Because you see, you cannot have a love in the house of God and turn a blind eye to needs, or to those who are going through trials or testings. You cannot have love in the house of God and not have responsibility. It seems that we become responsible if we're stirred up, or we become, our emotions are affected, or we've read something, or someone's going through something, or whatever it is, and oh, we rise up and we help, but it doesn't last. Love isn't about being stimulated. Love is wanting to fulfill that which is lacking in the house of God. If we see something that's lacking, then Lord, use me to fill up that area. I'm willing, I'm open. That is what love is about. With, of course, all the other things that are added to it, with patience, long-suffering and gentleness, kindness and so on. That's the fruit of the Spirit. But the point is that I am open to the Spirit to stand in the gap, which also includes prayer. We know that to be important, that we pray one for another, that we may be healed. But there are also the practical needs as well. It affects me very, very much if I'm not sensitive that my brother or sister has some physical need. Or maybe they just don't have enough money at the end of the month to buy food. That affects me, and I want to know from God. That's the heart that I want, and that's the heart that we should have as well. Because God is practical, and if we can help in any way to fill up that which is lacking, then praise God, you're the person. And you became sensitive because you asked for that sensitivity. You want to be used. And all of that springs out of a heart that loves God with all their heart, soul, mind and being. As it can't be done otherwise, because we're selfish beings in the natural. We're always going to put ourselves first, our needs first, and what I want. And God's changing that in us. Because he will meet all our needs. He will provide. You don't have to give thought for those things. We've preached on that many, many times over the years. For the very purpose that we can fill up that which is lacking in the house of God. So if we love God, we love one another. It's as simple as that. John 15, verse 12. John 15 and verse 12. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. So he keeps bringing this commandment up. I've got something new, something fresh. This is it, what he's saying. Love one another. And brothers and sisters, when we're truly born again of the Spirit of God, we actually are crying out for this love in the house of God. But sometimes we're so blinded to it that we're looking to other means for this love. This agape love, we think our friends can give it, or our family can give it, or doing something, or a hobby, or whatever it is. And I'm not saying that they don't have a place. But we sometimes use that as a substitute when really our heart is crying out for that love and experience that is to be found in the house of God. I want it. I want to experience it. Not just for me, but for the glory of God. And as we experience God's love, this love, this is what enables us then to be able to serve, because we're being touched by it. And it moves us. It changes us. It brings everything into spiritual perspective. So you need that love as well as I do. And God has given it to us. Because he says, this is my commandment, that you love one another. So stop looking for substitutes, because it's not going to happen. It can only be found in the house of God and with the brethren, and rightly so. For the very purpose, because we're his family and we're going to be living together eternally forever. In glory. And we need to start getting it right now. Here on planet Earth. Hallelujah. So this is why he's commanding us to do this. Let me look at a few more scriptures as I bring this to a close. Let's look at 1 Timothy. 1 Timothy chapter 1. Verses 5 to 6. 1 Timothy chapter 1, verses 5 to 6. Now, the purpose of the commandment is love from a pure heart, from a good conscience, and from sincere faith, from which some, having strayed, have turned aside to idle talks. So there we are. He's bringing out a problem that's happened, because he says they no longer love from a pure heart, from a good conscience, and from a sincere, a proper faith. And as a result of it, they turn away and they sin with their tongues. They go astray and they look for other teachers who will teach them what they want to hear and so on. Does that sound familiar? Of course it does. We've seen it. a lot that no longer want to stay with us because they don't want this love. This love that is found in the house of God. And do you know why they don't want it? Because they don't really love the Lord their God. They're deceiving themselves. And so they go away. The first things they begin to do, they sin with their tongues. They deceive themselves. Oh, God's protecting us from this, brothers and sisters. You're going to praise and worship him when you get into glory. When we just see how God has taken the initiative in our lives. Hallelujah. And that's why love deals with this sin, with this weakness that can be so prevalent, that can be so destructive in the house of God. What does it say in 1 Peter chapter 4 and verse 8? 1 Peter chapter 4 and verse 8. And above all things, have fervent love for one another, for love will cover a multitude of sins. Praise God. It is so powerful, this commandment, that it actually deals with sin, with weaknesses, which we have at times. Look how powerful it is. It covers it by the blood of the Lamb. Because love keeps it together, which is so vital. It's the basis of our fellowship. And two more scriptures as we close. Like all of these things, we have to be called into it. It doesn't just happen. God takes that initiative. In 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 9, 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 9, God is faithful, by whom you were called into the fellowship of his Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. And look at verse 10, what the apostle says. Because of verse 9, God's been faithful. God has called you to fellowship. He's called you into the body of Christ. This is then the results of it in verse 10. Now I plead with you, brethren, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that you all speak the same thing, and that there be no division among you, but that you be perfectly joined together in the same mind and same judgment. And it goes on. There we are. That is what he's doing. That is the basis of our fellowship. Now, that can only be by God. That can only be supernatural. Because nothing can exist like that. So, look what God is achieving and building within our fellowship with one another and with him. And finally, let's look at the book of Hebrews. Hebrews chapter 10. Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 25. Hebrews 10 and verse 25. Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as is the manner of some, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. So Paul says very clearly here, do not forsake assembling. Don't forsake. Don't put it to one side. Don't leave it. Continue with it. Coming together, as the manner of some is, exhorting one another. So our assembling, our fellowship is about exhortation. It's exhorting, encouraging, helping, in other words. For what purpose? Because you see the day approaching. What day? The day of the Lord. The coming of the Lord. Well, that was nearly 2,000 years ago. Well, how much more now? Is the coming of the Lord so near? And we know this. And this is precisely what the Holy Spirit is doing. as we exhort and we encourage one another and admonish one another for this very purpose, because God is getting us ready for the appearing of Christ. He's not going to appear first on the earth. He's going to appear first in the clouds. That's his first appearance, the snatching away. And he's getting us ready for this. And how is he getting us ready? Because he says, I command you to love one another. And that is why love in the house of God is so paramount. It is so important. Let God build it through you. As you make yourself available, as you just let go of everything, let him start to build his love in and through each of us. And he can do it, and he will do it, because he's commanded that it be done. And see, as I close now, Jesus would not say this new commandment that I give, if it were not possible. And so he's made it possible by fulfilling all the demands of the law. And he says, I now have something fresh, something new for you. And that is, I command you to love one another. Let the power of God work that in your life, in your heart, where there's no schism. There's no critical thoughts or sinning with our tongues, but that we embrace each of us in the love of Christ. Let the love of God work that fellowship together. He can do it because it's by the power of his Spirit, and he's risen from the dead. He has triumphed at Calvary. He is now seated at the right hand of the Father, because our unity, our fellowship, our oneness is the power of God. It is the witness to the world. And that is why the devil tries to keep the body of Christ divided. He knows exactly where to attack. Don't play his game anymore, but surrender to the unity and the oneness of Christ's body, because he's restoring, he's bringing her back into apostolic faith and power under the headship of the Lord Jesus Christ, not under some organization or some minister's name or whatever it is, which we have so much today. No, no. There is a remnant, true disciples, who will return and come back under the banner of Christ and him alone. That is what the world, groaning creation, is waiting to see. And you are part of that, brothers and sisters, in this time of restoration. We let the power of God do this. It's not about us. It is about him. It is about his glory. But it can only come if you love the Lord with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, with all your being, with all your strength. It will not be achieved otherwise. Praise God. So there we are. That is what we have been talking about today. Love in the house of God.
So disaster, let him in constancy follow the master.
All lies down before you and cradled in the love of Jesus.